Hi there, I'm Cynthia Dearen, and welcome to Business Beyond Borders, where I unlock the secrets of international business success. For most companies going global, geopolitics is just background noise. It doesn't affect how they run their international business day to day. But sometimes big things happen on the international stage and companies have to take notice. At the moment, the things that are happening are all happening in Hong Kong. And so this month, we're taking a look at the ongoing political unrest in Hong Kong and what it could mean for foreign businesses operating there or looking to enter the Hong Kong market. Today, I'm talking to Callan Anderson, the Executive Director at Hong Kong Corporate Services Group. Callan helps foreign companies to enter Hong Kong, China, and other markets in Asia. Callan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Cynthia. It's very kind of you to have me.
So you're in Hong Kong at the moment. If you were to look out of the window right now, what would you see? Anything out of place or anything unusual?
Nothing at all. It's raining because it's typhoon season right now, but I don't see any protests. I see traffic on the roads, people going about their business, people arranging their lunch for today. So nothing from my window has changed.
That's quite astonishing, isn't it? Because from the perspective of people who are outside Hong Kong, it does rather look as though the place is burning to the ground. What do you think that's about?
I think because Hong Kong's always been seen as a very safe city and a financial hub. So you talk about London, New York, maybe Paris, and Hong Kong. And Hong Kong's had its hand over in 1997. Things have moved along quite nicely. But when something does go wrong here, or there are protests or issues, it does hit the news headlines at the top of the news because it's unheard of to have these kind of things in Hong Kong. So when you watch some of the TV news programs or even the press, you see front page that Hong Kong is burning. But that's only a very small window of what the cameras and the TV crews will pick up because they're there to go and see what's happening on the ground. So you might have maybe 200 people or 500 people protesting in one part of Hong Kong. But the rest of Hong Kong itself is functioning very normally. Although we're a very small city within the greater scope of China, we're still quite spread out. We've got 35 miles from central Hong Kong to the border. And lots of other islands. So it doesn't really show Hong Kong the best way when it's Hong Kong still working, but some places there have been some protests.
Yeah.
And many of those have actually been in the central business district where the government headquarters are located. So that's why we see it on the ground here. I haven't seen any protests yet, and I walk around Hong Kong quite a lot.
Yeah.
That's not to say that my colleagues haven't seen protests or have participated in those protests, but I've walked around, I've heard their protests maybe a mile away, but from where I was walking, I didn't see anything.
So has anything changed with the vibe of the city? I mean, if you were there on the ground now, if you weren't in an area where a protest was, would you feel that there was any difference or does it just seem to be business as usual?
I think it's business as usual. I mean, I think if you were in a center of a serious protest, the police will use tear gas that has an effect on the people around it. Roads will be blocked. Sometimes the MTR, the underground stations here, get stopped as well for police use. So these kind of things can impact what's happening. When the airport was blocked, I think on two separate occasions, that also has an impact on people's ability to commute and travel around. And so it's not to say that things have been perfect. It's all about disruption to try and force the government's hand to make some concessions and some changes. And so trying to attack the things which are probably important to the day-to-day community, the underground stations, the airport, is part of that. But generally speaking, people are very pragmatic in Hong Kong. Some people will believe in the protest, but while still wanting to live their life normally. Even the protesters, some of them will say, Saturday and Sunday I'm going to protest, but Monday morning, I've got to go to work. And there's a realization I have to go to work and earn money from the rest of the week and protest the weekends.
That said, we're up to 14 consecutive weeks of protests as of now. What's the impact been on business?
Well, I dug up some numbers this morning, and I think they've said there's a 50% drop in retail sales in the first 3 weeks of August alone. That's probably come from the tourism or lack thereof. There's been a 40% reduction in tourism to Hong Kong in the last 2 months, and that's still carrying on. So coming to Hong Kong now as a business person, the hotels will be very, very cheap right now. So it's an ideal time to come. But I've had clients flying in from Australia and Canada even this week, and they were very, of course, nervous about coming here. But then when they got to their hotel, things seemed to be okay for them. But certainly it has an impact on the grassroots businesses, so restaurants, hotels, retail stores. And you'll probably start to see people being laid off. The economy is going to take a hit in Hong Kong, certainly. Many hotels have asked their staff to take unpaid leave. And the last time that happened in Hong Kong was during SARS in the early 2000s. So it is having an impact. And I think that's a sad part of these protests. And the protesters believe in something very close to their heart, but it's actually impacting their friends, their family, and Hong Kong's day-to-day ability to make money.
What do you see the medium-term impact on international businesses is likely to be?
For international business, I don't see much impact at all. There's actually a lot of large chains actually still coming to Hong Kong and launching new operations here. So they haven't really held back. Many clients are using Hong Kong as their... I talk about going to China like going to Mount Everest. You wouldn't climb up Mount Everest in day one. You would go to a base camp, first of all, and then another base camp. And the first base camp you're going to go to is Hong Kong before you go to China. So many of our clients are doing work in China, but they use Hong Kong as their hub for their business and their contacts. So that has not changed at all. People still value the importance of Hong Kong. There was discussion about people using Singapore, and Singapore is a great base in Asia as well, but yet it hasn't got the same taxability and benefit as Hong Kong does with relation to China. So people are still using Hong Kong. So there's still some positive signs that Hong Kong is still moving forward as it always was, not at retail, not at hotels, not at restaurant levels, but more on the international businesses you're talking about. That is still going ahead quite well.
What kind of questions are clients asking you as they come to Hong Kong during this period of unrest?
Is it safe to come? Will I be able to get out of the airport okay? They see the news and they see Hong Kong is burning, and my view is it's not. There are certainly some problems. Some of the clients are talking about, is it still safe to keep investments in the banks in Hong Kong? The banks here are very liquid. There's no problem as far as movement of money. There's no issue in the stock market. Stocks are up the last 2 days. So to me, it's still business as usual with a few caveats that we do have some protests carrying on. But when the clients actually do come to Hong Kong, they realize, hold on a minute, the news is one thing, but what I'm seeing on the ground is very, very different. Next week, we have the One Belt, One Road conference. It's an annual conference held by the Hong Kong government. And we've seen people canceling their trips. So I've got two key markets. One's Australia and one's Canada. The Canadians, we've got about 50 coming from Canada. From Australia, it was about 50. Now it's maybe less than that because people are a bit worried about coming to Hong Kong. So there's a few changes and challenges in that kind of the view that they have when they see the news not coming to Hong Kong. But it doesn't stop them still doing business. They'll still have a phone call and say, let's do something together and make it happen, and I'll come to Hong Kong later.
And looking more long-term, what do you foresee in terms of that relationship between the mainland and Hong Kong? Is China over the long-term going to encroach on that autonomy that Hong Kong has enjoyed for so long? And is that going to create problems for people looking to trade in Hong Kong or set up a regional hub there?
Well, there's 27 years, I think 10 months left before the 50th anniversary of the handover happens, and that is a time which we don't know if we'll be part of China completely. At the moment, we have a border with China, a different passport, currency, different legal system, So it's still very different to Hong Kong. China has not come in and changed all the street names from Queen Street Central or Victoria Peak or Victoria Harbour to a mainland warrior. Things have been kept more the same. Certainly China has shown a lot more interest in Hong Kong since Xi Jinping took over power. But again, they own Hong Kong. They can do that. But I don't see, as a businessman who's lived here 20 years, there's been too much interference in what is happening here. If there has been anything, it's because the government has allowed China to have more vision and view of what's happening in Hong Kong and its future growth. China still depends a great deal on Hong Kong being a separate autonomous region within China. 72% of all the foreign direct investment, either way, from China or going into China, comes through Hong Kong. So Hong Kong still plays a very important role. And I don't see that changing. There is talk about Shenzhen becoming the next financial hub. It's an IT hub right now. But build it and you will come is not going to be the way it's going to work. People who are Western businesses like the fact that Hong Kong has English common law, that the courts do work. And the fact that we've had protesting for 13 weeks in Hong Kong and China has not really interfered is a sign that the one country, two systems actually has worked. It might not seem that way on the international news, but the fact that the tanks didn't come rolling across the border is a sign that China actually does respect and understand the merits of these special administrative region of China and maintaining that. And I think everyone hopes that the protests will burn themselves out and it'll come to a point where there is a negotiation. Currently, it's still quite young, the protesters. They have an idealistic view of what they want, and we're allowing them to protest that and want that. But it's about how do you let them down gently to realize that it's not going to be democracy in Hong Kong. It wasn't democracy under the British, and it's not democracy now. But we have a few more votes than we ever had under the British rule in Hong Kong now. So there have been some positives happening here.
And so for businesses operating in Hong Kong or looking to Hong Kong as a base for Asia, what would you say? Full steam ahead?
Full steam ahead. There's nowhere else in Asia which is better suited if you were doing any kind of engagement with China on a business level than to use Hong Kong for that. Hong Kong is still very, very vibrant. Business still happens. The banks are still open. The government is there to support business coming in, and our firm, we're not seeing a slowdown in clients coming and using our firm to engage with setting up a structure, a Hong Kong company, to then trade with China. And I don't see that changing for at least the next 20 years, that Hong Kong will still play a very important role, but for international business, but also for Chinese companies as well. Chinese firms are using Hong Kong as a stepping stone into the West, and into Australia, and into Canada. So there's a two-way street here, and people in China and the West still believe in Hong Kong, although we see in the news different views on that.
Callan, great to have you on the show today.
Thank you very much, Cynthia. Thank you.
If you'd like more insights into what's going on in Hong Kong at the moment, or if you'd like support as you expand your business there, get in touch with us by visiting DearenAssociates.com. Our consulting services, which include market research and modeling, cross-cultural consulting, and strategic business connections, deliver deep insights and create value for larger companies looking to scale internationally. If you're from a smaller organization that wants to expand its global footprint, take a look at our International Business Accelerator program, which my team and I created to help micro to medium-sized businesses to speed up and de-risk the process of going global. The program helps business owners to build a great strategy without having to reinvent the wheel. It creates the momentum to put the strategy into play, and it helps them to generate or raise the funds that they need to get an international expansion off the ground. We built it especially for founders and CEOs who want to take their business to the next level and wondering where to start. It's structured in a way that's simple to follow. It's digital so that you can take part from anywhere in the world. It's a lot of fun and our members love it. Check check it out at dearenassociates.com.